Okay, today's daf is Chul and daf Mem Hey. Let's pick up from daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. We'll go back a little bit into yesterday's daf since we didn't do it together. About 10-12 lines before the bottom of the page, Amar Rav Chisda, sort of a separate inyan. We'll start off with some Gadata and then we'll go into Hilchus Treifus again. So Amar Rav Chisda, Ezu Talmud Chacham, what is the definition of a Talmud Chacham? So the Mainaf Kamina, the definition of a Talmud Chacham, tells us, points out, that there is a halacha Naf Kamina to who we call Talmud Chacham in terms of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Normally, in order to do Hashavas Aveda, you have a responsibility by Hashavas Aveda. You can't just give it to the first person who says that he lost it. He has to have a simon. But a Talmud Chacham doesn't need a simon. All he needs is Tviyas Ayin. All he needs to be able to do is say, I recognize that that's mine, and you trust him. But the person has to first be established as a Talmud Chacham to have that level of trust. So how do we define a Talmud Chacham? So it sounds like Talmud Chacham over here is defined more by integrity than it is by knowledge. Because again, we're talking about doing Hashavas Aveda just by Tviyas Ayin. That has nothing to do with what he knows. It sounds to have more to do with how much integrity he's proven to have. So Zeh Haroa Treifa La'atzmo. That relates to a person who can paskin his own Hilchos Treifas. What does that have to do with integrity? That sounds like it has to do with knowledge. So Rashi points out, Kishanolad Savik Treifas Bebehemto V'nira Botam Le'isr V'tam Le'heter V'eino Chasala V'osra. No, it's about integrity. It's about a person who has a treifa that comes up on his own animal, and there are reasons to be machmir, there are reasons to be mekil, and if he really wanted to kvetch a kula out, he could have, but he had the integrity to say that this is taka aser, even though it costs him a lot of money to say that it's aser. It's going to be very expensive to say that the animal is a treifa, very expensive to replace. So that's integrity. So it's based on that level of integrity. That's a Talmud Chacham. V'amar Rav Chisda, Ezu Soni Matanos Yichya. What is the definition of a person who is Soni Matanos Yichya, who doesn't, who will live because he doesn't like Matanos? The pasuk says that someone who hates Matanos will live. Zero a treifa la'atzmo. Again, someone who paskins his own hilchos treifos. So if he doesn't even take Matanos for himself from his own possessions, then certainly he won't take Matanos from anybody else's possessions. That's a Soni Matanos Yichya. Darish Marzutra Mishreid Rav Chisda. Anyone who learns Mikra and learns Mishnah and paskins treifos for himself, even le'iser, and is shimish tamidei chacham, which always means in Shas, Rashi at least always says, and he says it over here as well, means learns Gemara. Shimish tamidei chacham doesn't mean he hangs out with rabbis a lot. It means that he learns Gemara, so he knows how to understand the Mishnayos and to answer the stiros between the Mishnayos. It just used to be that in order to do that, you really needed to have shimish from a Talmud Chacham. You couldn't do that on your own. You needed a Mesora. So shimish tamidei chacham, so about such a person, it says that he will benefit from his own work, and Ashrecha v'tovlach, he's fortunate, it's good for him. Razvir Amar Zocha v'nochal Shnei Olamos Ha'olam Hazeh V'olam Haba, that he's going to be Zocha to two worlds, to this world and to the next world. Ashrecha v'olam Hazeh v'tovlach l'olam Haba. Rabbi Lazar ki havam shadri le mi bein Nesiyah midi lo shakil. When they would send Rabbi Lazar a gift from the bein Nesiyah, he wouldn't accept the gift. And when they would invite him to the Bein Asiyah to eat, he wouldn't go. He wouldn't accept the invitation. Amar, and he would explain why he wasn't accepting the invitation by telling them, Lo kabayi mar de'ichi. What, do you, the Bein Asiyah, not want me to live? After all, d'chsiv, v'soni matano siyichya. It says, v'soni matano siyichya, and I want to live, so I don't want to accept your gifts. And even an invitation would be considered a gift. Rabbi Zeira ki mishadri le lo shakil ki avam zami le azul. Rabbi Zeira had a different hanhaga though. When they would send him a gift, so he wouldn't take the gift. But when they would invite him, he would accept the invitation. Amar is yakure yudum is yakrubi. And his logic was that it is their kavod to have me, meaning by me going, more than I am receiving, I'm giving. Yes, I'm receiving the meal, but they want me there because it's a kavod for them to have me. And therefore, it's not considered a matana. So it sounds like it's a machlokas whether you're supposed to accept invitations, but whether to accept a gift is not a machlokas, that it's soni matanos yichya. The Yamshel Shlomo over here points out that the poskim don't quote this idea that you're not supposed to accept gifts. The poskim on Shas, the Rif and the Rush, Rambam sort of does, but the Rambam quotes it as a Midas Chasidus, and he says the reason they don't quote it is because man de kapit kapit. It doesn't say in the pasuk va'oiv matanos yamos. It says soni matanos yichya. So you want to be makbid, you can be makbid, but we don't have any raya that to do the opposite, that if you're oiv matanos, that you're going to die. So therefore, the idea of Soni Matanos Yichya is a Vardim Bitachon, that someone who's Boteach Ba'Hashem and he's not interested in Matanos from other people, you shouldn't think that such a person is suicidal, that he's denying the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him through other people, meaning like the old story with the fellow who's drowning and the helicopter comes and he says, no, God will help, etc. Right? And then he goes up to Shemayim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, why didn't you take all the help that I said, you know, why didn't you take the helicopter? And he said, I thought you would help me. He says, I did. I sent you the helicopter. So you shouldn't think that such a person is doing the wrong thing, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending him all these things that he needs through other people. No, you shouldn't think that it's a bad thing. It's a Midas Chasidus. It's a good thing to not take matanos from other people, but not that it's a din that you have to do that. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch and Chosh Mishpatim Reish Memta Sifei writes that it's a Midas Chasidus not to be makabel matanos, rather to be botei Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give him Dei Machzoro, and that's based on Soni Matanos Yichya. Now the Ramah in Yerodeh, Sim Reish Mem Vav, Siv Chav Aleph, sounds that there's a little bit of an Isser, because he says it's mutter for a Chacham and Talmidav to get whatever they need for bare survival from other people in order to allow them to be Osek B'Torah. But they should not be Mekabel Doronos Min Abrios. They shouldn't be Mekabel random extra gifts from other people, even though people are encouraged to give them gifts, but that's only very small gifts. But the Talmidei Chacham shouldn't accept large gifts from other people. Now the idea that the Rama says that the first half of his statement, that Talmidei Chacham are allowed to accept enough to let them get by, they're allowed to accept support from other people, that's not so pashut either. The Rambam, in a very famous comment in his Pirush HaMishnayos and Pirkei Avos, in the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos, has a whole long discussion about why it's a terrible thing for Talmidei Chachamim to take support from other people, and that we have the Tanaim and Amoraim, they worked for a living, they had jobs, there was Rabbi Yochanan a Sandler in the world, and how they didn't want to get anything as a result of their Torah. So that was the major statement of the Rambam, that your Talmud Chacham is never allowed to take anything from anybody else. But the Kesef Mishnah goes at great lengths to explain that most Rishonim do not hold like the Rambam. And the Kesef Mishnah writes, Re'inu kol Chachmei Yisrael shenatlu schara me'atzibur, that all Chachmei Yisrael always had a minhag, the practice of accepting a salary from the tzibur. And he says, Ve'ilu lo haisa parnasa salam de mitzuya, he said, what would happen to the Torah if people couldn't accept a parnasa from the tzibur? There would be no one that was able to dedicate themselves to Torah. And the Torah would be forgotten, God forbid, and that would be a terrible thing. But because there are funds available for Talmidei Chachamim to accept, that's why the Torah is able to survive. So that's the famous kolel issue. Should there be kolelim? It's not about Rabbanim, because Rabbanim have so many other things that they do aside from Torah. Many of them don't have any time to learn. But so it's not really so much about Rabbanim. It's more about the kolel issue. Should people accept money just to be able to sit and learn, not to provide any social services or anything like that to the community, just for sitting and learning? Now the Aruch HaShulchan writes that even though Soni Matanis Yichya, we would still say Zachal Adam Shlo B'fanav Matana. Meaning, we would still say that if you see a metziah and you know that somebody wants it, you could be zocha for the person, or if someone wants to give a matana, rather, to someone that you know, and the person, the recipient's not there, you're allowed to be konen on behalf of the recipient. We say zachal adam shlo b'fanav. What about soni matana siyachya? Is it really a zchus for the person to receive such a matana? Whatever happened to soni matana siyachya? He says, yeah, but you know, we go with what people would really want. And Rov b'nei Adam don't hold of soni matana siyachya. Rov b'nei Adam actually enjoy getting gifts. They don't. They're not so makbid about sonim matanos yichya. And furthermore, he says, whenever you're measuring zechus and chov in terms of zachon adam shlo b'fanav, you always have to measure what outweighs the other. Meaning, is it more zechus than chova, or more chova than zechus? So, granted, there may be a little bit of a chova in sonim matanos yichya, but it's more of a zechus to be able to get the gift, and that's the ikker. So he holds that you would still say zachon adam shlo b'fanav. Now, on this last point that the Gemara had, this machlokas whether you should accept invitations, whether the Talmidei Chacham should accept invitations, if that's included in Sonim Matanos Yichya, so the Svara of Rabbi Zeira should be familiar to us. That we have from the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, where Rabbi Zeira has the Svara over here, that what do you mean? I'm doing them a favor by going to their house and having them serve me a lavish meal, because it's a kavod for them. You have such a Svara in Kiddushin Dav Zayin, where the Gemara talks about a man giving a woman Kesef Kiddushin, or something that has value of Kesef Kiddushin. And the Gemara says that if he's an Adam Chashuv and she gives something to him, he could be Mekadesh her with the Anah she has in giving something to him. Because if you give a gift to an Adam Chashuv, it's a kavod for you to be able to give the gift to an Adam Chashuv. If you were to buy, a tie or cufflinks or something for the President of the United States, and you see he's wearing it, when he's meeting with a foreign dignitary, you say, that's my gift. You see, it's such a chashuv thing that he's wearing my gift. So that's the idea in Maseches Kiddushin L'chor. It's the same idea over here. So why didn't Rabbi Lazar think of that? Does he disagree with it in Kiddushin? Rabbi Lazar over here doesn't seem to hold to this idea. So the Chassam Sofer writes in his Kiddushim that this is based on the fact that the Gemara in Tainis Tav Chafei says that Rabbi Lazar was an Ani. And an Ani, even if he is a Talmud Chacham, he held that it wouldn't give kavod to the Beinasiyah to have an Ani come to their house. That's not considered to be a kavod for the Beinasiyah. Okay, back to Hilchos Treif. Now, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Now we're going back to discussing holes and punctures in the trachea and what makes it a trefa, what doesn't make it a trefa. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Nikva Kenafa Mitzdarfen Luruba. If the trachea has holes in it like a sieve, so that is all the holes are mitzdarif together till you get to the rove. If it's if rove of the trachea is punctured, even if it's just tiny little holes, that's going to be a trefa. Mas Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ubegul in a totally different halacha, when it comes to a skull, there is a shear called the mlomakdeach, the size of a drill hole. And if there are a bunch of tiny little holes, they're all mitzdarif to equal the size of a drill hole. Now, what halacha is that about? That's not about hilchos treifos. That's a halacha, Rashi points out, in Ahalos, in the second paragraph of Ahalos, about tuma in a room, about tumas mei. That about tumah ba'ohel, that when is a skull considered to be metame ba'ohel? Only if it doesn't have a chisaron, if there's not missing from the skull. How much has to be missing from the skull in order for it to no longer be metame ba'ohel? Melo mekadeach, the size of a drill hole is missing from the skull, then it's not going to be metame ba'ohel anymore. So what the Tosefta is telling us is that if there are a bunch of smaller holes, but altogether they would equal up to the size of a drill hole, then it's considered that the skull is chaser and it's not metame ba'ohel. Why are we mentioning this? That has nothing to do with hilchos treifos. So what we're trying to show is that whenever you have a din of a certain size of a hole accomplishing something la'alacha, then smaller holes are measured by whether they equal that size. So alma kivin to shiur melomakadech u'melomakadech mitzdarfin. Since the shiur by tumas ohel is the size of a drill hole, so that's what we're looking for. When we put all these little holes together, we're looking for, do they equal the size of a drill hole? So hachanami, what's the size of a hole in a trachea that will ruin the trachea? It's not rove. The size of kivin to shiur a ki'iser, le ki'iser mitzdarfin. The size is the size of a ki'iser. If there's a hole in the trachea the size of a coin called an isar, that's enough to make it a trefa. So when you have a bunch of little holes, why do we say, oh, the little holes all equal together to be the rove? It shouldn't have to be the rove. It should just be the Ki'iser. That should be the operative shear that we're looking for. And this is regardless of what you hold, whether an Iser is more than Rov or an Iser is less. It's irrelevant. The point is that we're looking at the wrong number, that we're looking at Rov. We shouldn't be looking at Rov. We should be looking at Iser. So that's the Gemara's question. Says the Gemara, Ishtamite Hada Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Amar Rabbi Chama, Bar Gurya, Amar Rav, Nikav Mishesh Ben Chisaron Mitzar from the Ki'iser, Vishain Ben Chisaron Mitzar from the Ruba. Now you forgot that the din is that there are two different types of holes. One type of hole you could make is by taking a needle and sticking it in the trachea, let's say. That would make a hole in the trachea. Another way you can make a hole is by pinching a piece and pulling it off of the trachea, ripping out a piece. Those are two very different things. When you stick the needle in, the amount of substance to the trachea is still the same amount. It's just that you pushed away on a little bit on the side, and therefore there's a hole in the middle. When you take something off of it, so then you're making it chaser. So depending on which kind of hole, the shear is going to be different. If it's a nekev that's yesh b'chisar, where you're actually pulling something off of the trachea itself, then the shear is ki'iser. Then we're looking for a hole the size of an iser. But when it's ein b'chisaron, when it's not missing anything, it's just that you punctured it with something, then the shear is going to be rov. So that's why we said when there are a bunch of these little holes, we're not talking about the little holes that are actually chaser from the trachea. We're just talking about holes that are in the trachea, the ki'ilu, they were made by needles. That's when it's mitzayif to the rov. So what was the havamina? So Tosus points out, the havamina was that when we said that it was that it was nikva kenafa, that there were holes like a sieve, well, by a sieve, the holes are chaser. The holes are the kinds of holes that it's missing from the actual substance of it. So we thought that when we were talking about holes in the trachea, we were talking about those kinds of holes that are chaser. Meaning, says Tosos, even in the Havamina of the Gemara, we knew this din. We knew the din that if it's chaser, then it's going to be defined by whether it's b'ki'iser, and if it's not chaser, it's going to be defined by rov. It's just that we thought we were talking about a case where it is chaser, and the Gemara says no, we're talking about a case where it's not chaser. Tosus points out that if that's truly the pshat in the Havamina and the Maskana, if that's what changed between the Havamina and the Maskana of the Gemara, then the Lashon Ishtamitte is a little bit difficult, because Ishtamitte means he forgot the rule. No, according to Tosus, we knew the rule the entire time. We just didn't realize what the Metzius was that we were talking about. We thought the word Kinafe meant that there was a Chaser over here also, and in fact it did not mean that. Amar Rabba Bar Bachan, Amar Rabbi Shoban Levi, Nitlay Mena Ritzua Mitztarefes Liki Iser. If a piece of the trachea was taken, so it's Mitztarif Liki Iser, it's Mitztarif to the Shear of Ki Iser. Why the Shear of Ki Iser? Because again, it's Chaser. Whenever it's Chaser, so then we go with the Shear of Ki Iser. Nikva kenafa mahu. If it has holes in it like a sieve, what's the din? So he said, Armalei hare amru. The kavim sheish ben chisar mitzar from the kisav shem ben chisar mitzar from the ruba. We already said that. We already know the din. If there's holes that have a chisaron that take away from the substance of it, so then the shear is ki'iser. If it's not chisaron, then the shear is rov. So we already know that. Ba'ofa mai, he says, yeah, that's good, that's by an animal. What about by an oaf? Meaning by an oaf, it doesn't make sense to have a shear of a ki'iser, because that's bigger than the entire trachea. By the oaf, it's very tiny. So what's going to be the shear by an oaf when it's chaser? When it's not chaser, so the shear of rov works for an oaf also. It's just that the rov is smaller than it would be by a behema, because the trachea is smaller on an oaf than it is by a behema. But what about when it's chaser, where the shear is supposed to be ki'iser by a behema? The shear of ki'iser doesn't make any sense by an oaf. So what would the din be? Some Rabbi Yisrael Nachman, the didim, farshin, the minay, Rabbi Lazar, mekaplo manicho al piakana. You have to take the area that has those little holes, cut out that area on three sides, or view it as if you cut it out on three sides, and see if you'd fold it over the opening of the trachea, would it cover the imchofes, rova kana trefa? If it would cover the majority of the opening of the trachea, then it would be a trefa. Vimlav ksheira, otherwise it would be kosher. So you make like a little flap out of it, and see if the flap is large enough, a flap out of the area that has the holes, and see if that flap would be large enough to cover the mouth of the trachea. Amar Papa, it's covered the majority of the mouth of the trachea. Amar Papa v'simenayich nafya. And the simen is, think about a sieve. A sieve is put over the mouth of a kli, so that when you empty its contents, it will go through the sieve. So over here also, you view it like a sieve. You put it on the, over the mouth of the trachea to see if it would cover the majority of the trachea. Fine. Niftacha kadalas. What if it were open like a door? Meaning, it wasn't that any piece was missing, and when you put it in its place, sometimes you could have a tear in something, but you can make it look like there's no tear by just keeping it in its original place. So what if the trachea was had a hole in that way, where there was nothing, didn't look like anything was missing, because it just covered the original place where it was. It's just that it had holes in it. So Amrav Nachman Kadeshe Yukanes Isar L'Rachbo. The shear would be that large enough that an Isar would be able to fit in along its width, meaning that an Isar should fit Berevach into that hole, not just a shear of a ki'isr that you could just barely fit an isr, the size of an isr, but it has to be that an isr could actually fit in with room to spare. Nistika, if there was a crack, Amarava filulam nishtairba eluchulia achasamal vuchulia achasamatak shera. I mean, if there was a crack along the length of the trachea, so even if you have just one chulia of the trachea on the top end and one chulia on the bottom end, that's going to be kosher. Amru kamed rabbi yochanan, amru machulia, machulia de kamarav. What chulia? What are you talking about? Chulias. You don't need chulias. Elema filulam nishtairba elemashulamal, mashulamatak shera. All you need is a mashuhu to be left on the top, a mashuhu to be left on the bottom, and that's going to be kosher. Amru kamed Rabbi Yochanan mishmed Rabbi Yonasan halchi. They said this in front of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Yonasan. Amru yadin chavrin bavloi lufrushi kei taima. He says the Babylonians know how to explain this very well. Now, what is a chulia? The machloks of here is whether you need a chulia or just a mashahu of the trachea to be unslit, to not have the cut run along it. So what's the definition of a chulia? So Rashi over here has two explanations of what a chulia means. First it says taba'as shamati ube'inai nira, but he says I heard shein shalosh tabos. There are these rings along the trachea. The trachea looks very different. The kana and the veshet are very different from each other. The trachea has these rings alongside. It's very muscular, and the chulia Rashi says two pshatim. Either it's one ring or it's a set of three rings. Where else does this come up? So Rashi tells you where it comes up. He points to a Gemara in Menachos. This comes up where the Gemara in Menachos talks about how many rings you're supposed to make around your tzitzis when you wrap your tzitzis. So the Gemara says, Hapochis lo yivchos misheva, Vamosif lo Yosef al Yud Gimel. You should have no less than 7, no more than 13. So there is a machlokas rishonim over there in Menachos. What does it mean? No less than 7 what? No more than 13 what? So some rishonim hold no less than 7 krichos within each segment of your tzitzis, meaning the chulia is defined as one wrap around. So there should be no less than 7, and that's why our minig is when we have only lavan, if you have tzitzis that have only lavan, so you do 7, 8, 11, 13, or 7, 9, 11, 13, no less than 7 wraps, because the chulia is defined as one wrap. But most Rishonim assume that no, chulia means a set of 3. A set of 3 is a chulia. No less than 7 means no less than 7 sections along your tzitzis, sections of 3. So that we are not mekayim with the way we tie lavan tzitzis, the way we tie tzitzis that have only lavan. So why don't we do that? So the Achronim point out, because the whole way of tying tzitzis is really only a major akpada when you have tcheles. If you don't have tcheles, we're not so makbid about the way we tie tzitzis anyway. So we just do like the Miut Rishonim, not like the majority of Rishonim, which is enough gemina if you hold up. We do have tcheles. If you have tcheles in your tzitzis, so then we try to be makbid for the Rov Rishonim also. So Shapta points out, that's why ideally you should be makbid for all Rishonim and have 7, at least 7 sets, with each of them having at least 7 wraparounds. Problem is, very often you don't have enough space on in the strings to actually be able to do that. So he said, at least we should do like the Rov Rishonim say, and have 7 sets with at least 3 in each set. But that's really Mikra Din. That's the same 2 days in Rashi over here as to how we define a chulia. Okay, Tani Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. The entire neck is kosher for shechita. Mitabas hagadola ad kanfei atachtona. From the tabas hagadola, which is at the top of the veshet, until it goes all the way down by the lungs. Amar Rava Tachtona Shiel Yona. When we say Tachtona, it means the really means the upper one. Shani Omer Kol Sheposhetas Tavara Varoa Ublvat Shalotayanes. That which part of the animal's lungs might be, or of which part of the pipe that goes down into the animal's lungs might still be considered a makom of shechita, only the part that's sometimes in the neck. So if the animal stretches its neck, that part of the breathing tube can come up into its neck. Any part that in the normal course of the animal's life might rise up into its neck is still kosher for shechita, as long as it's not that you're yanking the animal's head while and pulling it into the animal's neck. It has to be shalote on this, that it happens on its own. So by Rabbi Chanina v'item Rabbi Chananya ansa atzma mahu. What if the animal itself is ma'anes itself to get that part into the neck? So what's going to be the din then? Is it going to be considered a makom shechita or not? Take with the Gemara says we don't know. So by ansa atzma, Rashi says, what does ansa atzma mean? It means bishas shechita, the animal pushes itself to stretch its neck all the way. Tos says no, it means when the animal is reaching its neck to go find a vegetable, to go find food to eat or something. Nothing to do with the shas shechita. So the way that some of the Achronim, the Radvaz, has a tshuva where he explains what Rashi and Tosfos are arguing about, he says that Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's pshat because he holds that if it's only during the shas shechita that it stretches into the animal's neck, that wouldn't count. The animal's terribly frightened at the shas shechita, and maybe it's stretching its neck and it's moving in ways that it would never naturally move. So that wouldn't count. Tosa says it would have to be during the course of its daily activities in life that it would push itself to this point. Fine. Yosef Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Lakish Nafik Milsa Mibinayu, that the following statement came out from a discussion between Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Anas b'simanim v'shachat psula, nikef hakana l'mata menachaza nidon kareya. That it was anas b'simanim, and you shechted the place where the simanim were pushed up into the neck, that's going to be pasul. If the kana had a nekev in it, had a hole in it, and l'mata menachaza, underneath the chaza, underneath the neck, it's considered like part of the lungs, because that's where the kana goes into the lungs. So the part of the kana that goes into the lungs, if it had a hole in that, it's considered like a hole in the lungs. It's not considered like a hole in the kana. And therefore it's going to be considered a trefa. Tan Rabbanan, Ezu chaza, what's the chaza? Which part of the animal still counts as the neck of the animal? So Zeha roa sakarka. It's the part that sees, the chaz is really the breast of the animal, so that's the part that sees the ground. Lemata adatsavar, downward all the way to the neck. Lemala adakeres, and up all the way to the stomach. Meaning down and up is when the animal's hanging upside down. Because the way they would skin animals, they would hang it upside down. So if you're looking at the animal hanging upside down, so lemata would be, the part that goes from the neck until the keres, that's considered the chaz, that's considered the breast of the animal. You cut the two ribs and the two sides of the animal on one side and the other. That's the chaza that's given to the Kohanim. When you take a common shlavim and you give the chaza to the Kohanim, that's the chaza. That's the definition of the chaza that you give to the Kohanim. Fine. Nikev krum shalmoach. The Mishnah went on to say another trefa that we have is if the membrane that surrounds the brain has a hole in it, that's a trefa. So Rav Shmuel Dami Tarvayu, karma ila'a, the upper membrane, even though the lower membrane doesn't have any hole in it, even if the outer membrane has a hole in it, that's enough to make it a trefa. And others say, no, it needs to be that the lower membrane, the inner membrane, has a hole in it. The way to remember it is the bag that has the brain in it. Chaisa Rashi says is a sack. The bag that has the brain in it—that's the inner membrane, the lower membrane. Amar Rabba Bar Bachanam Rabbi Shimon Levi, kenegdo bebeitzim nicker. Even though on the brain it's very hard to find that membrane because it's so thin and it's so connected to the brain itself that it's very hard to locate it. There's a similar type of double membrane system by the beitzim of the animal. The way Rashi understands this, referring to the testicles of the animal, but by the beitzim it's much easier to identify the inner greater or lower membrane, it's much more clearly identified. Other Rishonim say, no, Beitzim over here means eggs. That an egg also has an outer shell and it has a membrane. If you ever peel a hard-boiled egg, so you have the outer shell and then you have a thin white membrane around the white of the egg also. So that's the, and it's very easy to locate that. That's the that's what the parallel that we're that we're drawing over here. Now Rashi over here says that's the tasa'a, the lower one, is the karum harach shamach munach betocho, the soft, thin membrane that the brain is inside of. So that goes, Ashri quotes the name Rabbeinu Chananel, that if you find a worm in the krum shel moach, and the moach is kayam, and the krum atachton ein roshem v'lo koradam, if you find that there's a worm in the upper membrane that punctures through the upper membrane, and the lower membrane doesn't have any holes in it whatsoever, the animal is kosher, it's not a trefa. And the Mordechai brings a raya from a gemara in Gittin Nun Vavan Beis, from one of the few gemaras we were allowed to learn yesterday. The gemara in Gittin Nun Vavan Beis tells us about Titus HaRasha, who we read about yesterday in the kinos. It's still not yet chatzos. I guess you could still call this a daf yomi coincidence, even though it's not really on the daf. But the Mordechai quotes a raya from the gemara in Gittin, says that Titus had a gnat or some type of bug that went in through his nose to his brain. And he lived for Sheish Shana, the Mordechai quotes. Now, our version of the Gemara is that he lived for 7 years. Probably what the Mordechai means is he lived for 6 years more than a trefa is supposed to live. So you see that he wasn't a trefa. So you see that even though the outer membrane of the brain is punctured, if the lower membrane is still intact, it's not going to make it a trefa. That's the raya that he brings from Titus HaRasha. Tulsus and Gittin says that that two possibilities why he didn't become a trefa. Either the Mordechai is right, that the lower membrane wasn't punctured, or you can't compare trefas of Adam to trefas of Behemoth, so it's not a raya at all, and the whole discussion is a moot point. Okay, says Gemara Vayter. Amar Rav Shimon Pazi, Amar Rav Shimon Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Moach Kol Masha B'Gedera Nidon Komoach. Anything that's inside the cranium is still considered as part of the Moach. Hischa Limshoch Nidon Kichot Hashidra. But the part that starts to extend beyond the cranium, that's considered that like the spinal cord and not the brain anymore. Meaning, even though part of the spinal cord goes into the brain, the part that's in the brain itself is considered the brain. It has dinim of the brain and not dinim of the spinal cord. At what point does it start to extend outside of the cranium? Rabbi Shobin Levi explained to me, they're like these two bean-like structures at the opening of the cranium, from those bean-like objects, and inward is considered inside, and from them and outward is considered outside of the cranium. But I don't know about what about the part of the chut hashidra that's right by those bean-like structures. And it's most mistavra that that would still have a din of inside the cranium. Rabbi Yirmiyah badak ba'ofa v'ashkach k'min shnei polim menochen al pi hakadera. Rabbi Yirmiyah checked an oaf and he actually found that he actually found these same types of bean-like things by an oaf as well. Let's go weiter. Says the Gemara weiter. Nikev halev lebeis chalalo. If the it's the neighbor's alarm, no big deal. Nikev halev lebeis chalalo. If the it happens all the time, they don't know how to work it. Nikev halev lebeis chalalo. If the heart has a hole that goes all the way into the chamber of the heart. So by Rabbi Zera, lebeis chalal katan or lebeis chalal gadol. To the which chamber of the heart are we talking about? The small chamber of the heart or the large chamber of the heart? So what's your shaila really about? Milo tanan, meaning why are you bothered by the shaila? Don't we have an easy way to answer it? Milo tanan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah of Shimon Omer Achi Tinakiv Lebesa Symphonos that when we talk about holes in the lung, we say the holes have to go until the bronchi of the lungs. Va'amar Rava Bar Techlif, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya Baraba, Amar Rav Achi Tinakiv the Symphon Gadol. And then when we say Symphonos, we mean the Symphon Gadol, the largest bronchi. So over here also we should mean mean the same thing. When we say nikev alev lebeis chalalo, it must mean the large chalal, the large cavity in the heart, not the small cavity. So Hachi Ashley, he says, no, you can't compare the statement about the lungs to the statement about the heart. Hasam lebeis hasimfonos, lebeis hasimfonos katani. It says to the beis hasimfonos, to where the bronchi are. Leichel deshafchi simfonos kulu. And therefore it's most mistaver to say it's where all the bronchi spill into, which is the large one. V'hachol lebeis chalalo katani. We say it's cavity, not its cavities, its cavity, which is only one, singular, mali chalal gadol, mali chalal katan, in which case it doesn't have to mean the one that all the others spill into, or the one that, no, it just means one of the cavities, the large one or the small one. We wouldn't know necessarily which one it is. Fine. Kana halev, Rav Mashu, the pipe of the heart. So Rav says is a mashu. If you have even a hole the size of a mashu in the heart's pipe, which the Gemara will say what that means in a second, that's enough to make it a trefa. Ushmol amar berubo. Shmuel says no, it needs to be a hole in the majority of it. Sehenu kana aliv. What is the pipe of the heart? Amar Rav bar Yitzchak amar Rav. Chelev shal gabe defanos. It's the chelev on the defanos of the animal. The defanos of the animal, the two sides of the animal. So says Gemara, defanos al kadaitach. What does that have to do with trefas? You could have holes in the chelev all over the defanos. It's not going to make the animal a trefa. So no, ela sha'al gabi dofne reya. It means the fat that covers the walls of the lungs, which are right near the heart. That's what it means as the kana alev. Fine. Amar amem reshmeder of Nachman, tlasa kani havu, chad parish liba, v'chad parish lereya, v'chad parish lekveda. There are actually three branches that leave that go by the heart. One goes into the heart, one goes into the lungs, and one goes into the liver. Dereya kereya, the branch that goes into the lung has a din of a lung. The kveda, and the halacha is by a lung, that a nekev mashuhu is going to make it a trefa. So if the branch that goes into the lung has a nekev of even a mashuhu, it's going to be a trefa. The kveda kikveda, the branch that goes into the liver has a din of a liver. And remember what we said by the liver is it needs to be missing the entire liver in order for it to be a problem of a trefa. If it's missing anything less than, if it has any bit of its liver still left, it's not going to be a trefa. So the kana is going to have a din of the liver itself as well. And the liba pligi, and the pipe that goes into the heart, that's what they argue about. That's the machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, whether it's b'mashu or berubo. So Mar Brachia Masni Yibcha. Mar Brachia had an interestingly different teaching. He had it dereya kikveda, that the pipe that goes into the lung has a din of the liver, that it has to be missing entirely in order for it to be problematic. The kveda kereya, the one that goes into the liver has a din of a lung, that even a mashuhu of it is missing is going to be a problem. And the liba pligi, and if it goes into the heart, that's where there's machlokas. So Azal Rabbi Chia and Rashi point points out Lishna Kam is more mistaver because Rabbi Yochanan holds like that Nikev Lamata Menachaza is Nidom Kareya. We said in Amud Aleph. So Nikev Lamata Menachaza is talking about the part that goes into the lung is Nidom Kareya. So it's most mistaver that the pipe that goes into the lung has a din of a lung. But anyway, Azar Rabbi Bar Yosef Amar Lishmaita de Rav Kamei de Shmuel. So he said over Rav's statement in front of Shmuel, Amar Lei. So he said, Ihach Yomar Abba Lo Yada Betrefos Vlo Klum. So Shmuel said, if that's what Abba said, then he doesn't know anything about Hilchos Trefas. So remember we said, when last time we referred to Rav as Abba, so it's Machlokas Rishonim, whether Rav's name was Abba, or Abba was a Lashon of respect. So this is one of the rayas that his name must have been Abba, and it wasn't a Lashon of respect, because it's strange to refer to him in a Lashon of respect when you're saying that he doesn't know anything. That if he actually said such a thing, then he doesn't know anything about Hilchos Trefas. That's a very strange way to refer to his Lashon respect. But Rashi still says, no, Rav Hachiyava Karile Shmuel, the Rav Hava Adiv Minei. This was Shmuel's respectful way of referring to Rav as Abba. It's not that it was his name, it was a way of referring to him in a lashon of respect. Maybe what he meant was that you're obviously reporting it wrong. Rav is very great and he knows everything about Hilchos Trefas. Ihachi Amar Abba, if what you're saying Rav said, he actually said, then he wouldn't know anything about Hilchos Trefas, and obviously he knows plenty. Like I once remember Rav Shechter and Shir once quoted, someone told him in the name of Rav Avadia Yosef a certain psak about a woman going to the mikveh with a cast on that she could just leave the cast outside, just leave her arm outside of the mikveh and be tovelis like that. And Rav Shechter said, problem is, Rav Avadia Yosef knows how to learn. So it can't be that Rav Avadia Yosef said something like that. Meaning it's obviously there's a problem with the report. There wasn't a problem with the original source of the report. Okay, Nishbar HaShidra, if the Shidra was broken, Tan Rabban, Chut HaShidra Shenifsak Berubo, Divrei Rebbe. The Chut HaShidra has to be Nifsak Berubo in order to be a problem. Rabbi Yaakov Amar Afilu Nikev, no, even a tiny puncture is a problem. Haru Rebbe K'Rabbi Yaakov, Rebbe had a Hora'a like Rabbi Yaakov. In general, whenever you have a Hora'a, it always means L'chumra. The Gemara, on the few occasions where Hora'a is L'kula, the Gemara Ksuva says, the other way around. Hora'a typically means L'kula. It typically does not mean l'chumra. The Gemara Maseches Ksuva says, "Umi ika hora'a l'iser." Do you ever have such a thing? A lashon of hora'a l'iser. Every once in a while, though, the idea is, why do we normally not have hora'a l'iser? Because hora'a means it takes a certain amount of chachma, it takes a certain amount of guts, it takes a certain amount of confidence in your psak to paskin. That's what hora'a means. A real strong psak to paskin l'chumra. You don't need any guts. You don't need any confidence. It's very easy to pass in the Chumra. To say a Kula, you need to really be sure of yourself. So that's why the Gemara has that expression, that Hora'a, you almost never have L'Isser. Over here, L'Chor, though, it's an exception to the rule. We have Rabbi Yaakov is one that says the Chumra, that even if it's just a tiny hole, and we have Hora Rebbe K'Rabbi Yaakov, that Rebbe has a Hora'a like Rabbi Yaakov. I think the Gemara quotes this over there in Ksubas, quotes this exact Lashon, that we do have once in a while Hora'a L'Isser when it's a big Chiddish. Amar Rav Huna, Ein Alach Rabbi Yaakov. So Rav Huna says we don't pass like Rabbi Yaakov. V'kama rubo, how much is rov? Rav Amar rov oro, the rov of the outer part of the Chut HaShidra, which we would call the skin of the Chut HaShidra, but not the inner substance, the outer part. V'ami la rov mochel, and some say no, the rov of the nerve tissue, which is at the center of the Chut HaShidra, not the outer part that you would call the skin. Mandi Amar rov mochel, kol shkein rov oro. If you hold that rov mochel would make it a trefa, then for sure rov oro would make it a trefa. Mandi Amar rov oro, rov Mochomai. If your Rov Oro makes it a trefa, what would you hold about Rov Mocho? So Tashma, Daman Yuli Amar Rav Huna, Ruba Shalom Rov Oro. That Rov means Rov Oro. Moach Ze Lomalav Lomorid, and therefore the Moach doesn't make a difference. If Rov Oro is severed, then that's a trefa. If not, then it's not a trefa. The Moach doesn't matter. The nerve tissue doesn't matter. Rav Nasan Barav and Aviyasuk Pamed the Rav. Rav Nasan Barav was sitting in front of Rav, Baduk Barov Oro, and he was checking based on the Rov Oro. The Kabaduk Barov Mocho, and after he checked the or he started to check the nerve tissue as well. And Rav corrected him. He said, look, if the or is there and you don't have a hole in Rov Oro, then it doesn't really make a difference what the story is with the Moach. It's the Malav Lamorid. Amar Rabbi Rechanan Rishon Levi, Nismarich puzzle. If the nerve tissue is liquefied, then it's puzzle. Nismasmes, if it's just softened, puzzle, it's also puzzle. Ezu hamracha vezu hamasmasa. What is the difference between hamracha and hamasmasa? Hamracha kol shenishpach kakiton. It means it could pour out like a pitcher. It's so liquefied. Masmasa kol sheni yochalam. It means if you hold it up, it would just bend over. It wouldn't be able to stand up straight. What if you held the pipe and you held the Chut HaShidra and it would fall over, not because it's so liquefied, just because it's so heavy that it would bend over? So take that, we leave as an unresolved question. Be Rav Amri, Nismas Meis Pasul, Nismas Meis, a new thing, Nismas Meis is kosher. What's Nismas Meis? Rashi says, Nistroken Me'amach Mekzasa Me'ilav, that some of the Moach empties out from it on its own. So it wasn't crushed, just empties out on its own. But we said that it's a treifa if it's nismaz meis. Well, how could you say that it's kosher? No, that was an obvious error between nismaz meis and nismaz meis. So easy to make the mistake. When we said that it's treifa, we meant nismaz meis is a treifa. Nismaz meis is not a treifa. Eini v'alevi avayasad be'masusa. Levi was in the bathhouse once. Chazyalu gavra detaryal resha, and he saw a guy in the bathhouse bash his head against the wall, and Levi was looking at the guy, and he immediately diagnosed the problem. Amar nismazmez moche didin. That man's brain is nismazmez. So lav delo chai, didn't he mean to say that therefore the guy's not going to survive? Don't bother calling Atzala, he's dying anyway, because his brain was nismazmez. So Amar Rabbi, lo, lomar sheino molid. He wasn't trying to say that he was going to die. Nismazmez would not cause the person to die. He was just trying to say that the man's not going to be able to have children because of the brain injury that he just suffered. He was able to diagnose it on the spot. Okay, I guess we'll stop there. Not going to be here tomorrow. I apologize. We'll be back on Friday.